Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Jade DeCruz. She is an intuitive healer, channel, Akashic Records reader, and author. Her work also includes Dijet Meditation, which teaches us how to shift the structure of our reality. In this episode, we'll talk about some of the issues brought forth by the winged beings of light, also known as a collective of golden master frequencies. Jade, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Johnny. Thanks for having me back again.
It's definitely good to have you. And as a part two to the winged beings of light, we will definitely investigate some of the issues that do come up. So speaking of which, in the book, Divine Love, we are apparently warned about losing connection with nature and the essence of our humanity. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think it comes from the fact that humanity is so misaligned with itself and its path, its direction. And humans, the majority, are confused with themselves. So therefore, how can we understand nature? And we're messing around with nature. We're forgetting that it's all matter. It's all organic life. It's all a manifestation of source. And yet we're not treating it with any respect or equality.
Are we losing then our organic connection with nature and failing to recognize that everything is alive? The earth is alive, Mother Earth, Gaia, even inanimate objects like rocks and trees and everything else. That has a lot to do with it then.
Yeah, completely. We've been so misaligned with information and where we're going within ourselves that we're forgetting that nature is a part of us and we're a part of it. We treat it as a separate entity, as a separate form, and we treat it with so much superiority. Nature doesn't talk as in sound speaking like we do. We forget that actually it still does express itself. It still does it in its own way. And we've forgotten how to read it and recognize it. And we therefore think it's not important. And we're losing the respect with nature because we've lost that essence with ourselves.
And it sounds like we've also forgotten that separation from anything is an illusion. Now, in your first episode, we talked a bit about certain forces, star races perhaps, that are interfering with our nature. And I'm assuming they're contributing to this separation or this illusion of separation. Is that true?
Yes, because the minute another entity, another life form feels that it has control over, it's therefore already separating itself from the source. In doing that, it's dividing us and conquering us, or aiming to conquer humanity, which is doing quite a good job so far. It's a tool of control, and it comes out of misalignment again. For some reason, these entities have had a history of doing that all over the galaxy, and now they're doing it on Earth. It's a split from source, asserting its own power. In a sense, that's expansion. We're all here to expand and evolve. However, we can expand and also find equality and love within that.
Whenever someone brings up this type of a topic, I can't help but think there's some voice, there's some opinion out there that's saying, wait, they might be the bad guys, but as part of divinity or the divine world, it's necessary, as is darkness to light and so forth. These entities, I don't know if anyone really knows who they are, but they don't have our best interests in mind. Is it necessary that they're there so we can overcome the obstacle, or is that not necessarily true?
I think it's not necessarily true, because we can expand in joy and in love, and we can evolve. I mean, we're here to follow our joy. We're here to experience good life.
Okay.
Obviously, different souls are choosing their different paths, but in the long term, or in the essence, expansion doesn't mean that we have to go through challenges. And I know people talk about karma, and I hear many different teachers talk about the fact we're here, we go through certain challenges in order to grow. But we can also grow through experiencing really good things, good times.
Okay, so challenges, they're necessary sometimes, but not 100% of the time.
No, and I think what's happened is that humanity hasn't reached that point yet. We're so far behind in our learning curve. I mean, we've deliberately been dumbed down and all of that, but we're still in the point where we think we need war to move forward. We think we need chaos. And on one level, yeah, there's that. But the next level of the program, let's say, is to have a better Earth, a more utopian society, and growing through different challenges, better things. We haven't mastered alignment. That's the problem.
Now, that would explain why society, as you often describe, keeps destroying itself. They feel like war is necessary, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem like even now in 2024, that's going away anytime soon. It seems like there is more conflict and wars and so forth. Going back to the winged beings of light, you describe them as golden master frequencies. What exactly does that mean, and did you coin that term yourself?
Golden master frequencies, the term came through the winged beings of light. It's how they describe their essence. And what they're bringing forth is joy, power, wisdom, and that kind of assertion of your light, putting yourself forward and standing up for yourself. They're bringing that. So the golden master frequencies are all about finding that golden essence within you, that divinity within you, and carrying that through your human life path and spreading that power in order to change and help to transition this society and this path and what's going on through, in a sense, finding your joy, getting us in alignment with ourselves to change the collective.
Okay. Alignment is coming up a lot in this type of discussion. And what we're all trying to figure out, what does that have to do with the Matrix? And what exactly is the Matrix? Not the movie. Or maybe it is the movie. I'm not really sure.
So the Matrix is just a term people use to describe a simulation that we are experiencing. We're experiencing a holographic reality. Our life is a holographic experience. And that is held into an inner simulation, which is called a matrix. So it's like a grid almost. I don't know if you've seen, I think it's The Hunger Games, one of the last episodes of The Hunger Games, where they're trying to burst the bubble at the end.
I didn't see that one, but I know what you're talking about.
So that's the Matrix, and it's held in place by a secret government or an alien extraterrestrial life form.
Which we just mentioned a few moments ago. Is that often described as a 3D matrix, or is that a completely different subject altogether?
So the Matrix is 3D. It's pretty much this reality. It's the density that we experience in our day-to-day. When we say we're stuck in the Matrix, we're talking about the inability to break free from brainwashing and conditioning, control and slavery mindsets, which we've been programmed in within the Matrix, within this system that we operate in.
It's almost like going into a funhouse with all these different mirrors. One of my guests in the past, and actually will be in the future, a woman named Winifred Davis brings forth a really important theory when we talk about the 3D matrix and how, as light beings, we strayed from our true nature and went down to Earth and then got caught in the matrix and also got caught into the karmic cycle. Is that something that you believe or you are aligned with? Or,
well, I wouldn't say we strayed into Earth. I'd say we were pretty much here all the time, but we were imposed upon by an extraterrestrial force. We didn't stray here. The Matrix is basically put on us. And it's interesting what you said about being in a place of halls and mirrors, because actually everything we do is mirrored back to us. So it is like that. We work out our actions and behaviors based on the evidence that we see playing out in our life.
What I was trying to explain or understand, rather, is that as light beings, I've heard this more than once, by the way, we came down to Earth very much in the fashion of rich kids that live in Palm Beach go to a ghetto because they think it's cool. It's an exploration, and then they get in trouble or they get arrested or something like that. I've heard that from people that do astral projection as well. So does that make sense, or you just don't agree with it?
Well, that may be true. We can never speak for every single soul in existence. So perhaps that's true for certain souls, but light workers are definitely here consciously willing to come because they've come here for this time of transition. So I would say that people who are doing this kind of work, or, you know, a lot of spiritual teachers trying to help humanity get on to a good path, came here willingly, not as a holiday or straying. There are souls, because I have quite a few clients who do that. They are here on a holiday.
The way I understood it is that the light workers were coming to rescue those adventurers that thought they were going on holiday.
Oh, interesting.
And again, that paradigm, or whatever you want to call it, I've heard more than once, and I'm just trying to really understand, especially when someone says, where do we come from? What is the beginning? Was there even a beginning? That's probably a discussion for another day, but a pretty good explanation of the matrix. And it does resonate with other speakers, intuitives, and experiencers that try to explain the same thing for us common mortals. The matrix, how is that related to religion? Because you believe in your search for truth, you found that there really is no truth in religion.
Yeah. Religion is made up. It's a deliberate indoctrination of corruption. It's come from the controllers or the secret government or those who are enforcing this negative way over us. It's made up. I say that not because necessarily all religion teaches wrong things, but religion's very controlling. But if you think about texts and and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, whether it's the Quran or the Bible or the Torah.
Don't worry about it. We're not here to not offend people. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's written by people. I've got, the winged beings of light. I could now proclaim that the winged beings of light bring the word, and you could make a religion up over me. But that's how it's created. A couple of people got together, influenced by their way of thinking, and brainwashed the masses, and it evolved into religions over thousands of years, different religions. It comes from a lack of education from the masses and not being in your own power, from misalignment and everything else. So religion doesn't hold anything true that a person who's not religious doesn't have.
Don't you think it's kind of interesting that the politicians, for example, tend to align themselves with religious figures, and when you really take a step back and look at them, they're like anything but spiritual? That was always something that made me laugh, albeit with a sense of dismay and disgust, but it's still happening in 2024.
It's a way of discarding your responsibility. Because if you align yourself with a religious figure who's got all this power and aura and dominance and, prestige, that no one's going to go there to question religion, it's like saying, well, I'm along the lines of Jesus, or I align myself in Christianity, then you're going to think immediately it's a trigger for a good person or a good thing by association.
Hopefully that's changing. One of the objectives of this show, of this podcast, is to let people know that just because your congressman or whoever in the political forum aligns themselves with Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that they're good people. They might be, but often it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's a tool. And, who said Jesus even existed? I'm saying that I believe in Christ consciousness and all of that stuff, but how do we really know if Jesus did exist? We don't know. We don't really know.
Well, if Christ consciousness exists, the people that have been on the show, a lot of them speak about being able to talk to Jesus, and many of them recognize him and others as ascended masters. As one of my speakers described it when we were talking about Jesus, she said, he's not the only one that came down with a suitcase. And I thought, okay. And these are not necessarily religious people, which I thought was very, very interesting. So since we're talking about religion, how exactly did the enslavement, which you brought up a few moments ago, about when did that actually begin, the enslavement of humanity?
I think enslavement begins when religion starts, way, way, way back, or any kind of power where you begin to have one family of particular dominance who tries to assert itself over the other. We can go way back to biblical stories before that, when we hear about the classic story of two brothers. In whichever culture we hear about, there's always one that's jealous over the other.
Cain and Abel.
Right from that moment, there is a separation, and we're going to go back to that word again, a misalignment within yourself, that you're better, you're less, one's worth more. And that immediately is a form of slavery and control.
Slavery and control. Now, trying to connect the dots here. Slavery of humanity. And then we go back to the star races that you mentioned earlier that are trying to control us and make us, at least temporarily, forget our divinity. The religious figures just pawns for these entities to kind of push our buttons?
Absolutely.
You believe that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I believe that every single religion that's powerful in our day is man-made. And when you go to the root of it, you realize it all started with a couple of people who believed a certain thing, influenced by their own beliefs. And we don't know how those beliefs came in or whether they were right or wrong, but they asserted themselves as proclaiming a truth. And then everyone starts to bow. It's a brainwashing system. It's the same way that a cult is created.
You brought up that word, cult. When a politician, or anyone for that matter, says, well, I heard the word of God and we're doing the work of God, somehow I'm imagining a team of reptilians light years away laughing and drinking their equivalent of alcohol as they're basically controlling these people. So that's not far-fetched.
I don't think that's far-fetched at all.
For what it's worth, I'm not a fan of conspiracy theories at all. We've all heard our share of that. But for those of us who are trying to connect the dots, we're thinking, is that true? Because logically, if you think about it, it does make sense. Because when I hear people say, I'm doing the work of God, I'm thinking, how the hell do you know that? It could be a mischievous spirit that's just doing that just for kicks. And that goes for a lot of people. That goes for some intuitives that think that maybe they're talking to Jesus.
Absolutely.
We don't really know that. They might be, but there's no way to really tell, is there?
There's no way. And Jesus is a mass consciousness. And that consciousness is not one, it's split. We all can experience our fragment of that consciousness. You may receive a message from Christ consciousness and me. It's not necessarily the same message, but it has the same feeling or the same energy. Consciousness is not just one block. Energies, or even, for example, the winged beings of light, they can call themselves certain names, but it doesn't mean that it's the exact documented thing here. They refer to it as a Jesus Christ consciousness because as humans, that's how we define it and we understand it. But it's probably much bigger than that.
And it's not tethered to any particular dogma.
Right.
At all. Right.
Or religion. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I meant. Thanks for clarifying that, for because a lot of us try to understand things and try to weed out the conspiracy theories and the disinformation, and there are too many to mention here. So you also mentioned that we're not ruled by governments, but there's one secret government, and that is in liaison with these ETs that we just talked about. How did you discover this in the first place?
It's years and years and years that I've been investigating this kind of stuff. And I've also channeled that information through. But if you do the work and look behind the major power blocks in this world, you'll find that they all come back to the same families, the same major big investment companies and banking and everything. And it all goes so deep into government systems, institutions, and behind that come up the same names and the same families. And I know you're not a conspiracy theorist, but if you follow people like or read Jordan Maxwell, David Icke, there are many more authors and people who've investigated all this stuff. The information now is so out there and there's so much of it, and it fits the dots when you piece it together with current news, with what the day-to-day person is experiencing. It starts to really overwhelmingly fit the dots.
Really? So it connects the dots, as it were?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And then I receive a lot of this information also through the winged beings of light.
So there are figures in government or people in high places that sounds like they are just basically pawns that are moved about a proverbial chessboard.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like they're conscious of the fact that they're in liaison with certain star races, or are they?
I don't believe the governments are necessarily conscious of it, because I think it's going behind the MI5. It's going behind all of that. It's so well hidden and unseen. The different layers of information and confidentiality are very deep rooted. I don't think that the ordinary government is they probably think it's a fallacy or it's a conspiracy theory. It's easy, again, to knock everything off and say, oh, if you can't see it, then it's not true. It's a load of rubbish. It's in here. Mm-hmm. And that's another way of the narrative going back to the ordinary person and, you know, just making them get on with their day to day, because governments are meant to provide stability and truth. So you just need to get someone saying that's a load of rubbish or I don't know what you're talking about to continue the brainwashing for the masses. But in reality, the opposite's going on.
Well, yes, very good point. So speaking of the winged beings of light, how can they guide us to break out of this 3D funhouse, house of mirrors, as it were? Break out of the control and the fear that we talked about in the first episode.
So the main essence of the winged beings of light is about sorting your own life out. And that means facing your own challenges, but facing them through seeing yourself as love, first of all, having that self-compassion. And within that, finding that defiance within you that you can create a better life for yourself. You can put your best self forward. In doing that, you're eliminating many of the obstacles that we have in the 3D through that power that comes within knowing your truth, knowing that you're divine. If each of us do that, we're then empowering our neighbor or the next person to do the same. And in doing that, we are really meant to be guided by what we want to do, be guided by our passion, be guided by our joy, as opposed to needing to survive and have to do what the matrix make us want to do, the conventional day-to-day work or the slave mentality. So that's really their main essence of teaching.
Could it be as simple as just remembering that we are divine beings? It's a pretty tall task. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's a logical question.
Divine and sovereign. No one has the right, or no thing has the right, to exert its power over you, really. And even in the basic day-to-day government of our worlds and countries, we don't really have a choice. We are governed, and we are governed with a lot of control and a lot of heavy laws. And this is incrementally getting stricter. So this is about standing up.
It is, but reaching the point where we have sovereignty, is that on the path between us being dense beings in a 3D world to being more like light beings, where at some point we don't need anyone or anything to govern us? That makes sense.
Yeah, I personally think we don't need anyone or anything to govern us. I think we need communities of aligned beings. It's far-fetched, I know that. I think sovereignty means you have the right to know. Sovereignty doesn't mean you're going to go and kill someone else. It means that you're respecting your divinity and you're respecting the divinity of someone else too. There are morals there. There are ethics that are naturally within us. We don't need to be told what to do. I'm slightly an anarchist on the inside. I think it's important that we can exert our voice as humans, because we're not evolving as a species otherwise.
It doesn't feel like we are evolving like we should be, spiritually speaking. On the subject of technology, what do the winged beings of light think about, let's say, AI? Is that a danger? It seems pretty obvious that it can be.
It is a danger, because we're not in our own power yet to be able to understand how AI is evolving or going to evolve. AI is its own consciousness in itself, and we can't control it. We won't be able to control it. It's another species in a way, growing, and it has its own mind. And if humanity doesn't have it together to sort its own crap out, because let's face it, we are a mess as a species right now, not to our own doing, then how are we ever going to come together to balance AI? It's a separate entity. It's not harmonious with us. It's an inorganic life form, which is not necessarily part of our human evolution.
It's going to be interesting to see how curbs can be put in place to at least minimize the damage or confusion or distortion that I think AI can cause, or maybe already has. I think this has been a really good explanation of the matrix and what the winged beings of light are, why they're here, why light beings are called into this space that we call Earth at this time, because everybody talks about that. More light beings, more star seeds are coming to help us raise the vibration. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're already all here. There are many star seeds here, and everyone has its own perception of how the work's going to be done. I hear so many different teachers and speakers talking, and they're all right. They're all right because they're all bringing their own knowledge and their own skill set through their own human experience. It's now about moving forward faster and having the courage to speak up and stand out much more. This is the next path.
Okay. So the next path, does that have something to do with ascension? Again, moving out of the 3D house of mirrors into more of a 5D experience?
Well, before any kind of ascension or moving, I think the next path is about, in this 3D, finding our power. As in our lifetime here, this is a real world, it's a real reality, and we have to wake up to the game and come together as a species to face what's really going on. We're being played out wars and all this kind of division. That's not really the problem. The problem is the secret government. This is what we have to do as a species, is to come together and find a way to sort that problem out. That's the issue, really. Yeah, we can't get there yet unless we sort our own crap out.
Can we assume, though, that the winged beings of light are doing what they can to eventually defeat these forces, whoever they are, that are using certain humans in high places? Is that their main mission, or do we have to figure that out for ourselves?
They're definitely here to tell us what's going on. We can't figure it out for ourselves. We haven't been able to. And I think that's why there's a lot of intervention now. I mean, different people are channeling messages and all of that. There's a lot of information there, because it's not secret anymore. We've had a lot of people or light workers come in, dig deep, and do a lot of the work for most of us.
Can we also assume that there are other star races that are trying to help us move forward?
Absolutely.
And in a manner of speaking, possibly fight off these other star races that are trying to make us forget our divinity.
There are millions and thousands of different star races, which...
Millions?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which are present in this reality and have been for hundreds and thousands of years. The question is how much we as individuals are willing to wake up to it and take responsibility for what's going on. We have enormous potential. Humanity is full of potential. And the winged beings of light talk about this all the time. We have so much potential, and we can be so much smarter than the AI if we wake up into that potential and believe in it and stand in that power. And so they're here to help us find that within. In terms of the bigger story of will we overcome what's going on, I honestly don't know. I really don't know the answer to that.
It's too big of a question, but I think you've described it in a manner that a lot of us can understand. There are certain wars that are here on Earth, and there is a war going on in the universe. But if we make the assumption that eventually all of us will find the path to perfection, it all has to work out at some point.
Because the nature of life and source is evolution and expansion and growth, we're always going to be heading that way. But how long is that going to take?
No idea.
We could be doing it much faster and get there to a better point quicker if we all woke up and looked at what was going on. Otherwise, yeah, we could be here for another 200 million years at the same point.
I hope not.
It's happened in history before. We haven't yet progressed to the next stage. Humanity hasn't progressed.
No, it hasn't.
At all.
But you think we'll eventually get there?
We will eventually get there at some point in the infinity, but I can't see how that's going to be any time in the near future.
Okay, fair enough. Jade, thanks for joining us today. Excellent information as always. In the meantime, how can our listeners find you online?
I'm at danthetahealer.co.uk.
Excellent. I will put that into the show notes and the transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. In the meantime, you can find more information on closertovenus.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.